The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
4 o'clock on your Friday afternoon. Brandon Orrick is in with your Top 4 at 4.
Number one, Grant Williams is staying in the NBA draft.
What are you doing? Some poor guy just got off work early on a Friday, and you just trolled him to the max. That was a lecherous thing to do, Brandon Orrick. What are you doing? You just going to set the carpet on fire on your way out?
Throwing everybody a curveball. Grant Williams staying in the NBA draft. He announced today in an interview on Stadium.
He did. Bon voyage, Grant Williams. By the way, Bear will have, if you're wondering where the PGA leaderboard is at, Bear will have that as soon as the top four is done.
Where are you at on the top four?
I'm at number two.
Okay.
Number two, Vol Baseball, Tennessee Baseball, 7-0 last night over Ole Miss. It's their 10th shutout of the season. That's tied for the most in the country. Take on the Rebels again tonight at 6:30, looking for the series sweep or the series win rather, and that would give Tennessee, I think, a pretty decent chance to make the NCAA tournament.
Well done, Meat Stick. Let's bring it on home. Win this series tonight. You know, not put it on cruise control, but obviously feel very good about our chances heading into game three.
Number three, Memphis has secured a commitment from five-star forward Precious
Achiuwa.
Achiuwa? All right.
That's what I'm going with.
Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway now has the number two, but all according to 247 Sports, the number two class, but according to ESPN and I think maybe even Rivals, has the number one class as it stands right now.
Yeah, 6'9 forward from New York. Number 17 in the ESPN Top 100. Joins, of course, James Wiseman, five-star DJ Jeffries, four-star Boogie Ellis, four-star Lester Quiñones, four-star Malcolm Dandridge, and four-star Damian Baugh, and then grad transfer Rajon Tucker. They're going to have to turn guys away because they're in the mix for two other five-stars, but they're full at this point, so he's just flipped the roster. I mean, they're going to have kind of a Kentucky in 2010 type roster there, just a bunch of one-and-done type dudes. We'll see. I mean, that's got to put some pressure on him, right? First of all, he's got to win the American Athletic Conference next year. Like, that should go without saying. Second of all, he's got to beat Tennessee. He's got to get to the NCAA tournament as a very high seed. And you better make the second weekend at the very least. You probably have to make the Elite Eight to have to make that kind of roster a satisfactory season. There's just a lot of things you have to do. And so the pressure's on him. I mean, all right, congratulations. You have proven himself on the recruiting trail. See what he can do with it.
Number four, in the NBA last night, Golden State comes from behind to beat the Portland Trailblazers 114-111 to take a 2-0 lead in that series. Tonight you've got Toronto at Milwaukee, and the Bucks lead that series 1-0.
And they're saying Durant out for an extended period of time here.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have slowed Steph down.
Does not.
I mean, I thought the Trailblazers were going to get that one last night, and then the three-point shooting.
I mean, we'll see what happens if they win. I think they have to win game three, obviously. If they can win that at home, I imagine be pretty charged up in the Rose Garden for those games. So we'll see, but obviously the onus is on them now. Is that it?
That's it. Let's top 4 at 4.
Hit the music, Brandon Orrick. We go to Bear. It's Bear's P PGA Championship Leaderboard Scoreboard Update Center. The dramatic pause there. Let's talk some golf.
Can we have one day where you don't crap all over this? One day.
Where I don't crap all over?
All right, let's get into it. Brooks Koepka.
Stay out of your way here.
Is continuing his demolition of the Bethpage Black course. He is currently four clear of the field, minus 10 through 9. Tommy Fleetwood is in second, minus 6 through 11. Jordan Spieth, minus 5, and he is done for the day. He's completed his round. Some guy named Berger, he's at minus 4. Dustin Johnson tied for fourth with Dustin Johnson, who's also at minus 4, and finished for the day. Adam Scott at 3 under par. I'm gonna try this one. Jane Wadanonad, minus 2.
I'm looking at that, man. That's what flag is that?
Is that that's not Danish? I don't know.
Jazz Jane Wattenon.
Yeah.
He's where?
He's at minus 2. And through with his round for the day. He's tied for 8th with Shecky Kong at minus 2. Looks like he's from Korea. Let's see some other notables. We got Ricky Fowler. He's at minus 2 as well.
That is Thailand. He's from Thailand.
Okay. Justin Rose, minus 1.
Where's Tiger?
Tiger is currently just dancing on the cut line. He's at plus 3, tied for 58.
Tiger, get it
and there
together.
You have it. Bears Scoreboard PGA Leaderboard Update Center. The minimal amount of interference from my co-host, Russell Smith.
That was good, Bear. That was almost
and Brandon
something
Blitz.
Approaching competent.
The Blitz brother.
So Tiger's plus 2, huh?
I mean, I kind of figured this was – I mean, it's Bethpage Black, man. He's had like 18 back surgeries. This course is a beast. Is Hodgie coming on today?
In hour number 3, we're going to try and run John Hodge down. Packed hour number 3, man. We got to talk to Hodgie. Got to get in the throne zone. Only 2 throne zones left, man. Are you a little sad? I'm a little sad, man.
Yeah, I can't believe it's over. You think – I mean, is Hodgie getting in the throne zone with us? Could you imagine Hodgie breaking down the thrones? Well, you know, Russell.
Go ahead. I'm sure he's listening. Give us your John Hodge impression.
Daenerys, she kind of burnt down King's Landing, but, I mean, you never know. She could end up putting it all together.
That's pretty good.
I love John Hodge.
It's pretty good.
It's my boy.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
He treats me with respect.
Good stuff. Coming up here towards the bottom of the hour, of course, we've been talking about the big Valor Fighting Challenge thing going on at Smoky Stadium tomorrow. And guy we've had on the show before, fighting out of Knoxville, the Bosnian Barncat, Demir.
I'll
take
what?
A shot here. The Bosnian Barncat, that's his nickname.
What's a barncat?
A cat that lives
drops
in a barn.
On your head from the rafters of a barn and just rips your head?
I guess so, man. Some kind of, yeah, like Bobcat or something. His last name, I can't pronounce his last name. It's almost like that Thai golfer. It's like Fedabedovich or something. Fedabedovich, I don't know. We'll just call him Demir.
The Bosnian Barncat.
Yeah.
Who's he fighting?
I don't know.
We're going to find out.
Some dead man.
Your blanket dying.
We will talk to him coming up here, and that'll wrap up our fight interviews for the week. Speaking of fights, I know Deontay Wilder is fighting this weekend.
Whoa. Do you see what he said?
No.
You talking about the interview?
Mm-mm. What did he say?
Basically that boxing was the only sport where you could legally kill another human being and get paid to do it.
Eh. I feel like MMA has surpassed boxing on the brutality scale. I know a lot of MMA people will blanch it. They're like, no, man, like there's actually less concussions in it. Whatever, man. Like boxers aren't there choking dudes out. I've never seen a guy break his leg kicking another dude in the shin in boxing. I've never seen a boxer pick another guy up and just slam him right on the back of the leg or his head, his spine. They're both obviously brutal, brutal sports. But I don't know, man. I was just like, he's not fighting Tyson Fury again or Anthony Joshua. I don't even know the guy he's fighting. And so that's what disappoints me so much about boxing. It's like you had this epic fight with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury last year. Everybody, obviously, it was a draw. Everybody wants to see the rematch. And you're not going to give us the rematch? And you're not going to give us Wilder versus Joshua, which is really the only fight in boxing people actually want to see right now. That's the only fight people want to see.
Probably.
And they're not giving it to us. So, I don't know. Plus, I don't get Showtime. I don't follow the – I don't know. I'll probably watch some guys. If I'm around Saturday night and I see a good Periscope feed from Bosnia, two Bosnia references in the first segment of hour number two.
You'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll pull that up and watch a little bit of that. Let's go to the phones here, 865-546-8200. Who we got here? Brando?
Phil.
Phil, you're on the drive.
Well, it's all right, Doug.
What's up, Philly?
How you, Baron, Brandon done? I guess congratulations to Brandon and Rick Butler.
Thank you, Phil.
Congrats to the boys.
That would be entertaining show.
You going to give that a listen, Phil?
He's going to give it a listen.
A good chance to get a call in, too.
Those are three of his favorite people at the station, Brandon, Rick, and Chancellor.
Well, I've never met the other one on there, Rick Butler. Brandon and Chancellor.
Never met the Nature Boy. Will you take Phil's calls on the Blitz?
Of course. I took his calls on overtime. I don't see why I wouldn't take him on the Blitz.
Yeah. I used to call overtime all the time.
You going to let him trash me and Russ like he used to on overtime?
Just depends. I mean,
wow.
If there's.
All right.
I mean, if there's a good reason to, then.
See how it is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when Trey and W. That'd be a nice combination to see how that works out, you know?
Work out beautifully.
Guys, did y'all know that a king down at Catholic was offered today by Georgia and West Virginia?
Saw that. Huggy Bear. And Tom Crean.
Now we've got a scholarship to give, and do you think we just, unless we get somebody to play, just save it the next year and get a good big man?
Yeah, well, I mean, Adesupi can't play next year, right? He's a rising high school senior.
Are we going to go out and get a transfer from Arizona State? Is he better than Akeem Mapasuki?
I don't know. I haven't seen either of them play, so I don't know. Even if they take Plavsic as a transfer, if Bone stays in, I believe we still have one more spot to play with. So I believe we have two as of now.
Yeah.
I mean, I want him to get Adesupi because I have seen him play. So, I mean, I either save it or get a guy that's only going to be here for, you know, get a grad transfer. It's basically what you're saying, right, Phil?
Well, yeah, I'd do that too, but there's not many of them out there now. I mean, most of the good grad transfers have found some place to go.
Yeah.
But there's still a few of them out there, and we probably need another guard. If Bone's gone, we need another guard just to, you know, give somebody some blow inside, I mean, outside.
What did you say yesterday? We're one turned ankle away from a nightmare, Russ?
Yeah, I'm just with Phil, though. I don't know that, of course, I'm not checking the transfer portal every 2 hours like Barnes and those guys are, I'm sure, but I just don't know who all is out there right now in terms of that it could come in and help. And the thing for Tennessee, too, is if there is a good grad transfer, it's a point guard, it's coming out. He's going to want to go somewhere where he can play. You're not going to be you're not going to be a grad transfer point guard and go and sit on the bench. And so they're going to look at Tennessee's roster and say, well, you've got Lamonte Turner and Josiah James. So, A, is there anybody out there? And then, B, if there is, how are you going to convince them to come here? It's kind of a tough spot to be in.
Well, if you can find somebody that's a good defender and can shoot, though, they need that because they're kind of a shooter short. if they can find that. I don't know if you can find it this late in the recruiting process.
If I had to guess, Phil, I think if I had to guess, the way it's going to shake out is we're going to get the Plavsich guy. He might have to sit out this year. I don't know what they do with that 13th guy, but I don't think we're. I think we're going to go into it with James and Lamonte and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, I mean, a backcourt of a Lamonte, James, and Bowden is probably one of the better ones in the SEC.
Sure.
But you don't have any depth.
Sure. Yeah, you're just hoping nobody gets hurt.
And y'all talk about Mount Rushmore. I think Dale Ellis is the second best player to ever play at Tennessee.
So you go Ernie, Bernie, Ellis. Who's your fourth?
I don't know. That's a good. You know, that's where the problem starts.
Yep.
I don't. You know, there's a lot of candidates for that fourth position. And I maintain the best big man to ever play Tennessee in my lifetime is Reggie Johnson.
Ah, wow.
Wow, blessed from the past.
And then Lynn Kosmalski and Tom Bullwinkle were quality big men at Tennessee. SEC and everything.
Was Bullwinkle number one overall pick in the Bulls in one of those drafts back in the day? I know he's a first-rounder.
Well, he played 10 years in the NBA.
Tom,
I can't remember what he was drafted by. I mean, I know he went to the Bulls.
I can never remember. What position did Burt play? Is he a guard?
Who?
Burt Bertelkamp.
He was a point guard or shooting guard or combo guard.
Was he? Did he play with Ernie and Bernie?
He did for – well, he sat on the bench when Ernie and Bernie were there. When Don DeVoe was there, he benched Johnny Darden and started Bertelkamp at point his last DeVoe's first year. That's the year they won the SEC tournament.
Phil taking us down memory lane this afternoon.
That's the last time we won the SEC tournament.
I love it.
But you talk about Chris Lofton and Grant Williams. They're probably – they may not be the best basketball players in Tennessee history, but they probably are the best – two of the best human beings that's ever played ball at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I figured you'd have a vote for Chisholm.
Well, I love Chisholm. And since Reggie Johnson, Chisholm might be the best big man they've had over there. You count, you know, whole career and the intangibles.
What's that crazy stat on him? He played – he started more games than anybody else in Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
Won more games than anybody else in Tennessee basketball.
I mean, he's got a pretty stout resume.
I think he played in more games and won more games than any player in Tennessee history.
But that being said, guys, you shouldn't have cut Willie off because I thought that was one of Willie's better phone calls. He's bringing up a legitimate point. It's time for Rick Barnes to earn that $5 million a year. Get some damn players in here.
That's easy, Phil.
Whoa, wait. Let's not have a sense of
–
hold on. Let's not have a sense of revisionist history here. That's not what Willie was saying. Willie was apoplectic, just completely distraught.
Even took a shot at his boy Fulkerson.
There was something about – we're going to suck next year. We're going to the NIT. Barnes is a failure. I mean, it was absolutely absurd.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So let's not get on here and act like Willie was making a lick of sense today. It was one of the all-time dumbest calls in the history of the drive, and that's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I mean, Barnes doesn't even really have to – you know, strain himself. He just got to get in his car and drive down to Cedar Bluff.
Speaking of driving down to Cedar Bluff, if you're out this weekend looking to run some errands, you might want to stop by the new Jiffy Lube Multicare facility on Cedar Bluff, down there towards Middlebrook. Great place to go get a variety of services performed on your car. Everybody knows Jiffy Lube, great place to go get your oil change. Well, the Jiffy Lube Multicare facilities can handle most maintenance and mechanical issues. Plus, as an authorized Michelin dealer, the Jiffy Lube Multicare facilities has your next set of tires. So we've got five of the Multicare facilities here in East Tennessee.
That one's four, on Cedar Bluff?
Yeah, four regular Jiffy Lubes in East Tennessee. To find the location nearest you, just go to JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. They've got a map you can zoom in on and just find your area town. And I mean, they got nine places. There's bound to be one within shouting distance of wherever you're at. Again, it's JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. And while you're there, download a coupon for $10 off your next visit. It's JiffyLubeKnoxville.com.
I'll be there this weekend. Jiffy Lube.
What?
What?
Yeah. I knew this. That's why I wanted to get this in.
Doing what?
Well, I'm going car shopping Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. So what I do is if I'm really serious and it's getting down to it and I'm settling on one, run it by Jiffy Lube. You know why?
Are you going to let them change your oil?
Yeah.
Oh, to be able to see that mechanic's face.
Not that car. A test drive, whichever car I'm settled in on.
Oh, and you take it by there and let the mechanics check it out?
Yeah, you get that's the Jiffy Lube guys that get up underneath it and tell you if everything's kosher with it.
Okay. I thought for a minute you were going to change the oil.
No, but when I get the new one, that's going to be my home base.
All right.
I'm going to follow all manufacturers' recommended maintenance.
Hands off my Kit Kat there. I saw that.
You going to go with the air filter?
You know where I stand on air filters.
It depends. Like, you're supposed to get that changed. I think it's like once a year.
I've always kind of felt like it was
once
a scam.
Every.
But it's not.
10,000 miles.
Every 10,000? Yeah.
Helps your gas mileage better.
I've read it's like once a year. And it helps the quality of the air inside the cabin of your car. It's just like it's not something you do every oil change, but they don't know. Like, the guy who's changing your oil at Jiffy Lube doesn't know, like, how many times. Like, he's just going to look there, and if it's a little bit dirty, he's like, yeah, you know, you can change it. It costs what, like, it's not very expensive.
$10.
So, anyway, they'll take care of you. JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. One in Maryville, one in Eagleton, Alcoa. Six around Knoxville, and one in Greater Clinton. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. And you know, if I'm bringing you back in, that means Russell is currently hacking up part of his lung out in the front yard.
Bad past couple days for Russ. It's just,
he's not really covered himself in glory, has he?
No, he's not.
He's off his game right now. You guys are leaving us.
Thing is tearing him up.
Yeah, he's like the mama bird. You guys are like, been his chicks in the nest. He's been going out and getting food and chewing it up and then spitting it down into your beak like mama birds do. And this is kind of, you got to keep in mind, this is bittersweet for us.
What does that make you?
I mean, I hang out with you guys away from work, so I get to see y'all plenty.
Oh, we've got a call. I don't know.
We do.
We do.
Okay, well, who is it?
Coach Pruitt.
Freebird?
Freebird.
Get him in here.
Guys.
What's going on, Coach?
Right today?
Doing good.
Doing good. Doing good. Good to hear you. Brandon, last show on The Drive this afternoon. Congratulations. The Blitz.
Thanks, Coach.
Looking forward to it.
I'm sure you're a fan of the Blitz, right?
Big fan of the Blitz. Zone Blitz. Fire Zone Blitz. Dog Blitz. Like the Blitz. Looking forward to it, Brandon.
Well, hopefully we can get you on the show sometime, Coach.
No doubt. Love to do it anytime. Just call. Guys, been watching a new show. Wanted to tell you about, get your thoughts on it. Know you'll be talking about the Game of Thrones a little bit later. Looking forward to the Throne Zone. Going to be a lot of excitement this weekend in the building. And actually, been watching a new show, this miniseries. All right, it's on HBO, and it's called Chernobyl.
Actually,
you seen the
Peanut
Bear?
No, Coach.
I'm not sure if you're aware, Coach, but Bear's not a big fan of the macabre.
There's nothing macabre about it, Coach. It was awful. I was alive. You were alive too when it was going on, Coach.
Well, a lot of you might be too young to remember, but back in 1986, there was an explosion at the nuclear power plant in Russia. Now, back in those days, the old Soviet Union, it was kind of like our biggest rival in America. It's kind of like the Iron Bowl, all right? They had this guy, this guy, Mikhail Gorbachev, big old bald head like mine. You remember Mikhail Bear?
Yeah, he had the port wine stain on his forehead.
Oh, he had big old ugly birthmark right on his forehead. Looked like the mud hole we stomped in Kentucky this year. Remember that?
That was fun.
What, the mud hole in Kentucky or Gorbachev's birthmark?
Both.
Oh, right. Well, anyway, they had this nuclear power plant in Chernobyl. Thing done blew up on them. It was a complete disaster, as you guys like to say on the show. Bear, do you know how a nuclear power plant works?
No, Coach. How does it work?
Well, you got your reactor. You got your isotopes. No, you got to have your isotopes. You got your uranium. See, we learned about this in high school science class. You should have learned about this in high school, Bear. I don't know if you slept through that, but...
Might have been suspended,
your,
Coach.
Yeah, high school. Anyway, what happens, that uranium, very unstable. You got your neutrons. They're all firing every which way. And what they do is, you following, Bear? Are you following me?
I'm following you, Coach.
What they do is they split them atoms. It's, what's it called when you split an atom, Brandon?
I believe when you split it, it's called fission, right?
Look at the big brain on Brandon. He went to high school science class.
And then it's fission. Called fusion whenever you put them together, correct?
Correctamundo, Brando. This is the, it's the same process by which the sun creates energy too, all right? A lot of energy in there. And when it blows up, like it did at Chernobyl, it blows up big. That's what happened at Chernobyl. You got the radiation coming out every which way. You got guys with their faces just melting off, all right? You got birds falling out of the sky. You got babies being born with legs growing out the side of their heads. Weird stuff, you know. Bear, am I being too macabre for you?
You're getting out there, Coach. I'm not going to lie.
Bear, I want you to come over to the complex this week. We're going to watch together. We'll put in a big old fat dip, and we'll watch Chernobyl. All right?
I'll see if I can make it over there.
Fellers, appreciate you. Got to run. Coach Fulmer's calling. I think he wants to go fishing or something. I'll holler at you and later.
All right. Appreciate you stopping by, Coach.
All right.
I think his favorite Skinner song is Freebird.
No, it's probably some deep cut. What do you think it is? How about Pruitt just dropping some knowledge, though? I mean, very scientific.
Hey, guys, what I missed? Sorry, I had to step out there for a phone call real quick. Everything going all right?
Oh, yeah. Me and Bear thought that you were coughing up a lung again.
Something stuck in my throat today, all day.
Yeah,
really,
Coach,
bothering me.
Coach Pruitt gave us a call.
What?
Yeah.
Why do I always miss that?
Not really sure.
Oh, man, did he say anything interesting?
I don't really think he's a big fan of you.
Oh, man. What did he say about Garantano? Are we going to be any good this year?
He was talking about Chernobyl.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
He was talking about Chernobyl.
Oh,
Russ.
Like how last year was kind of like Chernobyl, the Vanderbilt game. We kind of melted down.
Whoa. Whoa, what are you doing?
What did he say about Darnell Wright? About
he's not
going
to continue to call into our show if you're taking shots at the poor guy.
I just wonder why would he be talking about...
You watch your mouth when you're talking about Freebird.
He didn't talk any football.
It was Chad Summertime, it was, man.
He didn't talk any football. I know Coach Pruitt. He doesn't not talk football. That's all the guy talks.
Well, it was very...
he doesn't have any outside interests, okay?
Very scientific today. Scientific Pruitt today.
Do you think that... how do you expect that the coaches show, him and Bob's going to go this fall? I was thinking about that the other day. I was going through my DVR and found one of the old ones. I can't remember which game it was.
I mean, I don't think he likes to do his coach's show. I think he likes Bob just fine. I think he would rather be watching film or something.
I just wonder if it's going to be as noticeable this season.
I hope it's just like it was last year. I loved the Pruitt show.
You got in. You were in on that early. I remember it was like the first game you texted us. You're like, if you guys watched Pruitt's show.
I feel like I was one of the first to catch on.
That it was high entertainment?
Yeah. I feel like that was an important part of my brand. By the end of the season, I felt like it was a duty to get up and watch the Pruitt show on Sundays and get those pictures out of those reaction shots.
He's looking out of the corner of his eye.
I like the one where they were, I guess it was after the Vanderbilt game, and they just did it in a hotel room somewhere. Like, they don't even have the set behind them. And, like, Pruitt, he's wearing the same plaid jacket that he had on, and he just looks miserable.
Yeah.
Looks like he wants to be anywhere else but doing his coach's show.
Recruiting.
Yeah, I don't know if you pull him aside and be like, Coach, like, this is kind of part of your gig. I thought it was fine, man. Content-wise, watching the games, I thought his comments were fine, and I just thought that also added a comic element. I wouldn't change a thing, serious, from my standpoint.
You like it when halfway through the season you just start showing up in sweats?
He's like, the heck with
it. I'm wearing my T-shirt. Can you imagine, he had a whistle on, didn't he?
Do you
he?
Think there's a makeup person on set? Can you imagine, like, approaching that guy, like some young, like, 24-year-old
well,
girl
yeah,
with, like,
I mean, he's a,
some
he's,
makeup?
He's a bald-headed guy. And
do you think he lets
TV?
Him?
I think sometimes he does. I think it depends on his mood, because there were obviously sometimes where they didn't put any, like, dulling powder on his head, and it was
a little glare.
Shiny. Yeah, it was pretty shiny.
Well, we've got another fighter on here. Of course, the big event is at Smoky Stadium tomorrow. Valor Fighting Challenge. I believe it's 57. I hope I got the number right. Valor Fight's going to be putting on a show up at Smoky's Stadium outdoors. You want to go see some outdoor MMA action? You can do that tomorrow evening. Gates open around 5, I believe, out there for the fights. And one of the guys going to be fighting, we've had him on the show before, I believe. I'm going to take a shot at the last name here, Demir Fedabegovic. Demir, how close was that? Is that even in the right
that's
ballpark?
As close as you'll get, probably.
That's in the ballpark?
In the ballpark, yep.
So to speak. Well, you're going to be in the ballpark tomorrow night fighting. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here the day before a fight. I know it's always an interesting time in a fighter's life. What's your day been like so far?
The day before a fight's always hectic. You got weigh-ins. You got interviews like this. You got ceremonial weigh-ins. You got weight cutting and all that good stuff. But, yeah, it's been hectic. I've been able to keep on track today. Everything's going accordingly. So nothing coming out of left field or anything. Just taking it little by little.
I know we've been following you a little bit here at the show for a couple of years now, as you've had several local fights with Valor. What's your pro record at right now?
Currently, I'm 3-2 MMA and 1-0 in kickboxing professionally.
All right. So this will be your sixth professional MMA fight. You have one of the better nicknames of any local MMA fighter, the Bosnian Barncat. Where are you originally from, Bosnia, or is that just your family lineage?
Yeah, that's right. I was actually born in Bosnia. I moved to the States when I was around 7.
Wow.
And lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, pretty much my entire life.
So all I know about Bosnia, there was, I know there was, I don't know, a war there. Where, I mean, were you there for any of that, or were you out of there by, you know?
A really cool story about that is I was actually born in, during the war, there were prison camps, and I was actually born in a prison camp.
What?
That, me and my dad and my mom met in the prison camps. My dad was in there for about 3 years, and that's where they met, and that's where I got conceived, and I was born there, and they let my mom go. And a couple of months after they let my mom go, they let my dad go. And shortly after they were both released, we moved to Switzerland for about a year. And then we had some friends from that lived in Germany at the time that are also Bosnian that fled from Bosnia.
That's
they moved
incredible.
Over here to Knoxville, and we kind of followed suit, and here we are now.
Wow. So that's got to be weird psychologically to think, you know, your homeland is torn apart by civil war, but if that had not happened, your parents would have met, you wouldn't be here. Is that, I'd imagine that's got to be weird to think about.
It is definitely weird to think about, you know, something bad happened over there, and, you know, this came out of it, something good, where my dad, you know, pursued a better life here in the States, gave me a better life, gave my sister a better life, and I couldn't thank them enough for everything they've given me. My life definitely wouldn't have been the same if I stayed over there in Bosnia. That's for sure. But, yeah, I'm just grateful for everything I have and that they gave me.
No doubt about it. All right. So you come over to the States. You get into MMA. You've been fighting for a while right now. Where do you feel like you're at in terms of your fighting career?
I'm just getting started. I feel like I've had a couple losses, took a couple losses in the last few years, took a little layoff MMA, stopped training for about a year, took some time off just to recuperate everything and kind of, you know, decide what I want to do with life. And after about a year of not training, I realized that's really what I want to do, and I started going back to training, scheduled a kickboxing fight to kind of get the ring rust off, just kind of ease back into it. And this is my first MMA fight in about 2 years, so I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Wow. So you've been away for a minute. Was it difficult after a year away from the sport to get back in?
Yeah, you know, I really didn't know what I wanted to do in that year. I finished up school during that time, and I don't think I was ready to go into the job field yet and just sit at a desk 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day or whatever. So finally decided I wanted to go on fighting again, and I started training, and yeah.
So you must be pumped up tomorrow night, your first time back in the MMA ring in 2 years.
Yeah, I'm definitely pumped. Ironically enough, this is probably the best I've been prepared for an MMA fight coming off a two-year layoff. So I'm excited for that. The training went well. The weight cut went better. I did everything right this camp. I trained really hard. I'm excited to show off my skills tomorrow night.
How much weight did you have to cut?
Man, this is the lowest I've had to cut for an MMA fight. I've probably, this week, probably like 5-6 pounds in total. I was 2 pounds over this morning, and pretty much I cut that in 30 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour, really fast. But yeah, like I said, I did everything right leading up to the fight, and that's what made the weight cut so easy. My diet was on point. My training was on point. It's not like my other MMA fights where I've had to cut so much water and feel so dehydrated towards a fight, yeah. You know?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'd imagine that would not be good fighting outside tomorrow night to be all dehydrated. It might be really hot out there.
Absolutely not. And, you know, I fought for Bellator in an outside event in the middle of August. Oof. up in Bristol. And it was probably 90 degrees, humid, mid-August, you know. So it didn't take long for me to tire out in that fight. But, you know, you got the different elements against you there. But I think coming, doing that fight, I'll definitely be prepared, and I'll know what's in stake for tomorrow, doing another outside fight.
You know anything about your opponent?
Yeah, we've actually fought the same person, Charlie Alexander, another great fighter. We fought the same guy. We both beat him. I know he's decent on the ground, decent on stand-up, but I think I'm better in all aspects of fighting, and I'm not really worried about anything that he's going to throw at me. And I'm just there to do my own thing and let him do whatever he wants, and then I'll be there to counter it.
So do you have a plan as far as what you want to do? Do you want this to be a striking fight, or do you want to get on the ground with him, or are you just kind of going to respond to.
I'll keep that
a
little hidden secret. What I want to do. I don't. If you see me fight, you know what I want to do. You'll know. It's not that big of a surprise. I like the stand-up game a lot more, but I've been training jiu-jitsu a lot for this fight as well. A lot of defenses, so I'll be ready in all aspects of the fight.
So I've got to ask you about your nickname. What is a barn cat?
That nickname was actually given to me by my teammate, Scott Holtzman. He's a good buddy of mine.
Hot sauce.
We kind of started training at the same time. I was a little younger when he started, but we kind of started training at the same time. That nickname kind of came from when I was younger. I'd be real lazy during training, kind of off to the side, laying down or whatever, like a barn cat, you know. And, you know, but when it was time to spar and I get all feisty and scrappy and really fitting nickname, I guess.
So he was almost kind of cracking on you in a way.
Yeah.
But it reminds
me of somebody I know.
The nickname stuck and I kind of kept with it pretty much my entire career. I like it. You know, it's kind of comedic, not too serious.
But also ferocious.
You got people like nicknamed the axe murderer and stuff like that. It's like, that's not me, you know.
It's like you're trying too hard. If you come in
you're trying
murderer.
A little too hard.
Yeah.
But I like the comedic, and it was a good friend that gave him the nickname, so it kind of stuck.
All right, good deal, man. Well, congrats on getting back in the ring tomorrow. I know you're excited about it, and best of luck to you, Demir.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you, man. Demir Fedobegovic.
What a cool story.
Yeah, the Bosnian barn cat. Jumping
Golly.
In. Do you remember that stuff when that war was going on? With,
Yeah.
What, like 97, 98, something like that? Late Clinton era. It was like going on at the same time as the.
It's about as scary to just even imagine. I mean, when you start talking, when terms like ethnic cleansing start getting thrown around.
Well, I just remember there were like, it was one of the first. I remember the first war I remember was, you know, 90, the Gulf War, and they were like, you know, but that was like in the desert, and you got like all these faraway shots of the buildings blowing up. And in that one, you saw like
city
people
warfare.
Running. Yeah, urban, like big buildings getting blown out, and like people running for it. I mean, it was terrifying.
Yeah. Airstrikes going off. That was, wow.
Yeah.
What a hell of a story.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, you get in the in a prison camp, and you start a family and have a baby in a prison camp, you probably want to get out of there pretty quickly. They're probably ready to come to the States after that.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So.
Now, we got to remember the next time we have hot sauce on.
He's the one who came up with the Bosnian barn cat.
Yeah. I mean, I really had it built up. I thought, man, they must have some kind of just absolutely terrifying, like, feral barn cats over there in Bosnia. Like extra long claws or something.
Maybe.
No, hot sauce, just a guy like you.
I don't know.
Giving a buddy a nickname.
I don't think he's a guy like me, man. He's a bad dude. A little more laid back.
Don't sell yourself short, Russell.
Little more peaceful. A little more peaceful.
Hot sauce Holzman.
We take a quick break on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. When we continue, let's see, what do we need to do here? We got to get the docket in here. We will do that for you. Coming up next, it's presented by our friends at Disability Advantage Group. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DHE today at 865-566-0800 or visit DHE-US.com.
TCU running back. Boy, I don't know what with names today, but take a crack here. TCU running back Siwo Alanulia. Arrested in Huntsville, Texas on Tuesday this week on felony drug charges. Alanulia faces third-degree felony charge of possession of a controlled substance weighing more than 1 gram and less than 4 grams. As well as possession of drug paraphernalia.
That's a felony in Texas?
Evidently, man. Take it
seriously.
What's
the weight on that? 1 gram to four, but no more than 4 grams?
Possession of controlled substance weighing more than 1 gram and less than 4 grams. Is that not a lot?
No.
Take your word for it.
I'm not a grass expert.
That's a joint.
Alanula was released on $4,000 bond Tuesday. Rushed for 635 yards last year, including big game, 194 yards on 32 carries in TCU's bowl win over Cal.
You say he got arrested in Huntsville, Texas?
Yes.
That's probably where he'll be living for the next 5 years then.
A Greenville Burger King restaurant.
Greenville, sure. Tennessee?
I don't know.
South Carolina?
I don't know. I'm going to say South Carolina. Doesn't say in this story. Greenville Burger King restaurant is facing a civil lawsuit after a woman said she suffered an ongoing foodborne illness from undercooked onion rings and chicken nuggets. Lannis Spurgeon of Campobello. Is that in Arkansas? Is there a Greenville, Arkansas? There's a Greenville everywhere, right?
There's Greenville, Alabama.
Filed a civil suit in April against the Burger King on West Ferris Road in Greenville. She claims she ordered food from the restaurant in May of 2016, buying a bacon cheeseburger, onion rings, Sprite, and chicken nuggets as a four items for $4 deal. She was driving and eating the chicken nuggets and onion rings when she noticed an unexpected texture. The nuggets and onion rings had a crunch and a slimy taste and appeared to be cold and not cooked, according to the lawsuit. She pulled into a gas station, forced herself to vomit, and returned to the restaurant to complain to the manager. Is that smart to do? Like, if you accidentally, like, I can see, like, she's just got some Burger King. She's like, she's driving and eating, so she's not really looking at it.
Seems like the first minute, the first millisecond that it hits your mouth cold, like to where it wouldn't be cooked. Probably not chew it up and eat.
Is that a smart thing to do? Is like gag yourself and just get rid of it? Or does it even matter if it's on your lips at that point? Is it like in your system?
Yeah, I don't know.
Manager proceeded to look at my food, brought all the employees that were on shift to the front, stating that it was no excuse for the food to be served this way, according to the lawsuit. Spurgeon was given a refund, according to the suit. Later, she felt sick and reported her condition to the manager, who told Spurgeon she filed a claim with the insurance company, according to the lawsuit there. So, the old getting sick from undercooked food at Burger King lawsuit.
Huh.
Just don't eat at Burger King.
Whoa. What the hell are you talking about?
Been a long time since I've been to Burger King. I do like.
I visited the King last week.
Really?
For the drive one afternoon.
Was it the same day you ate the entire large pizza for dinner?
No.
That's good.
No. I'm not ever going to do that again. I've made some changes. Definitely not doing that again.
What kind of changes?
I'm not going to eat an entire large pizza ever again like that.
He's not doing that anymore. That's the change he
made. Well, I've got a new grocery store, and it's incredible, and I'm going to start eating healthier.
Good for you. Good for you. That is The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group, online at dag-us.com. If you have some sort of debilitating physical condition, an injury, an illness, something that prevents you from working and earning the way you want to, well, you might qualify for Social Security Disability Insurance. To find out if you qualify, go check out dag-us.com. They do free consultations, and you can consult and see if you qualify for disability benefits. Again, that's dag-us.com, or you can call 865-566-0800. That's 566-0800 for Disability Advantage Group. We are cruising with you here on The Drive. We got your top five at five coming up. We're going to try and run down John Hodge to talk a little bit about the PGA Championship. It does not look like Tiger Woods is going to make it two in a row. Matter of fact, we don't know if he's going to make the cut. Should we do an update? Should we go back to Bears PGA Championship scoreboard leaderboard update center?
Hold on. Give me just a second. Hit the music. Makes it sound so regal.
You got to make this quick.
Oh, the pressure's on.
Kepka's given one back. He's at minus 9-11 under, still four clear. Jordan Spieth is currently the clubhouse leader at minus 5. He's finished for the day. And let's scroll down here real quick to check out Tiger. Tiger, what was he? I don't see him, Russ.
Oh, no. Tiger!
Oh, no, Russ.
What happened? He's at plus 4. The cut's going to be plus 3.
Yeah, he's still got 7 holes, though. He could make it. Come on, Tiger. We believe in you. All of it except for John Tweet.
He bogeyed the first 2 holes of the back 9.
You don't have to.
He's struggling, man.
It's beautiful. No. I like it.
Maybe he's like, you know what? Don't got it this week. I almost feel like if you're him and you're 42 years old and you got a back condition and you get to this point.
You shut it down when you're not, when you know you're not going to win.
Just go home, man.
Yeah.
Sit out there and grind for. It's not like Tiger needs the money or anything. At this point, he's the only thing he's chasing is history.
PGA needs it for the ratings.
It's win or. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, are people going to be watching Tiger play in the first group?
Hell yeah.
This weekend.
All right.
Top 5 at 5 coming up, hour number 3 of The Drive. Stay with us.